I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Should we and can we ban the airing of pharmaceutical ads on television? Did you know that each year the average television viewer, you're going to be astounded by this, is exposed to up to 30 hours of commercials in advertising of prescription drugs? And we are not alone in the world, but there are very few countries in the world that allow any kind of TV advertising for prescription drugs. Three countries permit direct-to-consumer advertising in the pharmaceutical industry: New Zealand, the United States, and we've been allowing it since 1997, and Brazil, which allowed it starting in 2008. In 2014, pharmaceutical companies spent $4.5 billion on consumer ads, mostly for television. And there have been calls by the American Medical Association to ban the advertising of pharmaceuticals on television. What do you think? Should we? Why don't we? Is there a freedom of speech that would allow us to make it very difficult to ban pharmaceutical advertising from television? Here's our phone number. We would love to hear from you during the course of this hour, and I'm sure that we'll have a lot of response to the discussion. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our guest is Gary Stix. Gary is senior editor for Scientific American and has worked there for a number of years. He is currently responsible for covering neuroscience, and editors of Scientific American had a piece that caught our attention titled, "This Drug Ad Is Not Right for You. Peddling pharmaceuticals on TV is a lousy form of health education, and it can also drive up medical costs." Just to get us in the mood, here is an ad that you have heard ad nauseum.
You met. But your erectile dysfunction? It could be a question of blood flow. Cialis Tadalafil for daily use helps you be ready anytime the moment's right. You can be more confident in your ability to be ready. And the same Cialis is the only daily ED tablet approved to treat ED and symptoms of BPH.
Oh, yes. You know that one. And you've heard it, I don't know how many times. I wonder how many of those air in the course of a year. Maybe our guest will know. Gary, thank you very much for being with us, and good afternoon to you.
Oh, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
I guess I didn't realize that we used to not allow these. Is that the case until 1997?
Well, technically before 1997, they were allowed. But at that time, it was required that a full listing of the side effects be broadcast in the ad. And that was too consumptive of television time to make it practical for advertisers. So in 1997, they changed the rules and they allowed a briefer listing of the side effects, even though, as people who watch TV know, they can still be quite extensive. And that opened up the floodgates. And since then, it's evolved into a billion-dollar ad industry, as you pointed out.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you listen to some of those listing of side effects and you think, oh, my gosh, these are so incredibly dramatic. People need to be very careful taking this.
That's true. And the issue with that, and in fact, one of the reasons against these ads is that in many cases, you can have an effective drug that has a very rare side effect that they are required to list in those ads. And the whole point of the editorial that we decided to do was that these ads are a kind of spam. They are infinitely confusing to consumers. A lot of times they come away from viewing these ads and they don't know what the drug is for, and they don't know whether it's effective, and they can be scared away by this list of side effects. So it does not accomplish the purpose for which these ads were originally set out, which is a form of health education. They are the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
In some
way. And yet, what percentage of people who see these ads go to their doctors and say, oh, I saw this ad on television, I really want it?
About a third of the people, according to some surveys, and there's been various surveys that show different things, but a third of the people go, and it's been shown, the survey that we quoted in our editorial in Scientific American said that about 10 or 12% come out with a prescription. On the other hand, if you look at that as a form of marketing, that's not bad at all. I mean, direct mail marketing gets a much lower hit rate and even a lower percentage of people who actually buy the product.
And what is the correlation? You write about this in your piece, your editorial. What's the correlation between advertising on TV and higher prices for prescription drugs?
Well, the drugs that are normally advertised are drugs that are still on patent, and meaning that they're not generic drugs. And so people, in some cases, will go to their physician and ask for these drugs, and the ads themselves don't explain that in many cases there may be a lower cost alternative, and in some cases there may be multiple lower cost alternatives. So that is really a factor that can drive up drug costs.
The American Medical Association has now called for a ban on direct-to-consumer advertising of prescription drugs and medical devices. Is that going anywhere, or will Congress not take this up?
Well, I don't think Congress is going to take up that or a lot of things this year. And in fact, there have been calls for this kind of thing before. I think what the American Medical Association was trying to do was stake out a position on this. The issue with banning this is that the drug industry is going to fight it tooth and nail, and if they actually pass a law, it's quite likely that it will be challenged on First Amendment grounds. It's been held in previous court decisions that commercial speech is protected under the First Amendment. There are, as the editorial points out, though, there are other ways that this issue could be addressed.
What are they?
Well, there's a number of them. Hillary Clinton has suggested that the ads could be discouraged by taking away the tax benefit that companies get. They get a write-off for these ads as part of their normal business expenses. A U.S. representative, Rosa DeLauro, introduced in the last few months the Responsibility in Drug Advertising Act that was introduced in February. And what that would do is it would establish a three-year moratorium on the ads. It wouldn't totally ban them, but it would establish a three-year moratorium. The benefit of that is that there's a lot of drugs that come out even after extensive clinical testing, and they find in the first few years, things like Vioxx, for instance, that there are some significant safety problems with them. And the three-year moratorium would allow some of those safety problems to become manifest before advertising would be allowed, so mm-hmm. that the advertising would be more accurate, you know, that you're advertising something that's at least safe, even though the effectiveness or the validity in relation to other drugs is not necessarily addressed specifically by that.
Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Should we be banning the airing of pharmaceutical ads on TV, particularly in America? We have a doctor from Madison who wants to weigh in on this. Owen in Madison, hi. Hi, Owen. Are you there? Hi.
Hi. My name is Ellen.
Oh, Ellen. Hi, Ellen.
I'm a retired family doctor, for full disclosure. I feel that watching these ads on television, there's a suggestion that the medication advertised is more effective or less risky than lower cost alternatives already on the market, which are probably generic. Indeed, drug companies do not advertise generic meds because the place where they make their money is on their patent medication. And most of the things advertised on TV that are patent meds and covered by prescriptions, certainly they make money with that. But they also make money from other meds which may not be covered, like those for erectile dysfunction.
Gary, you want to respond?
I completely agree with that. I mean, the ads that are on TV are, as you said, usually for these higher-priced on-patent medications. And in some cases, I think that Viagra is one. They are off-patent, but they've been enough of a blockbuster that they continue on as far as the advertising goes. But the question, and maybe this is a question that you could address, is one of the major critiques of these is that these ads do what ads do. They advertise a brand. They establish in the consumer or the patient's mind a particular brand that they're seeking out. And that complicates the conversation that a physician might mm-hmm. have with a patient. And so, in that sense, there's without further information, and there's a lot of information that a patient on his or her own can get out there now to have a more intelligent conversation, but without further information and solely taking information from the ads, the patient may be misinformed about options. That's actually something that you might be able to address better than I can because I'm not a physician.
Yeah, and we're going to ask if you can stay with us, Ellen, for just a little while. We have some business to take care of. We can either call you right back because I'd like to hear your response to that. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Scotty can call you back or we'll just put you on hold, whatever you prefer. You are listening to the Ideas Network, and we're talking this hour about the pharmaceutical industry. You know, there are only three countries in the world, the United States, New Zealand, and Brazil, that allow pharmaceutical advertising on television for reasons that we're hearing about. There are calls by the AMA to ban the ads in the United States. What do you think of that? We're welcoming your phone calls at 800-486-8655. We're in our spring membership drive. We have a lot going on here these days. It's a short one, but it's important because it's your support that really is the basis of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio the place that you go for great programs and discussions like this one. We'll be back to our guest and to the doctor who just called in a moment. First, KP Whaley is with me in our studios to encourage YOU to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2555. At this very moment to make your gift.
That's right. We did hear from 10 listeners last hour. And we want to thank each one of you for your pledges. The goal we have this hour is 15 pledges. I think we can do that by 2 o'clock. And these goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio really has the money to pay for the programs like this that you rely on. So help us meet that goal with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think you know that KP and Scotty and I are pretty passionate about bringing you 2 great hours of radio from 1 to 3. When we're not on the air, we're tossing around ideas and we're engaged in what's going on in the world and agreeing with each other and disagreeing. And there's a lot of enthusiasm every single day, Monday through Thursday. Books, history, politics, social issues, medical issues, education. We are here for you with all of these topics, and we have some fun, too.
Yeah, and we actually can't do it without your support either. So listener contributions make up about, I think it's 40% of our budget. Yeah, that's a ton. And it's why we're asking for your gift right now at WPR.org or just call in 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, I love this. I love this. You can let the impact of your pledge go to Wisconsin State Forests because you can ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. It's one of those things that's good to do
that's
in your
really
life
cool.
to plant a tree or plant a couple. Isn't it cool?
It's a perfect
I just love
time.
It.
Spring membership drive.
I know.
Fits in
I know.
Really well.
It is. It's so good. Your thank you gift will plant a tree to help preserve our forests here in Wisconsin. So you can do two good things at once. At WPR, one is pledged to us, of course, in case that wasn't obvious, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my
source for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn. KP Whaley is here in our Milwaukee studios, and we're asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, $10, $15 a month. We appreciate each and every one of your gifts.
Yeah, and also at WPR, we have this core group of supporters who continue to give and give generously. They really willingly contribute because they depend on the vital resource that is Wisconsin Public Radio. So maybe you rely on WPR too, and for whatever reason, maybe you've never given.
Well, we're here to tell you that WPR relies on new members like you so that we can grow and keep the high quality of programming on the air. And today may be your day. Show your support, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and tell us that you would like to become a new member. Your gift of $5 or $10 a month, it's all that it takes.
It's pretty simple. And one listener made their donation and said, we could live without WPR, but we sure wouldn't want to. And that's kind of maybe how you feel as well. If so, if listening to WPR makes your life better, then make a pledge.
Whether it's keeping up with the news, and we do have a wonderful news department, the laughs you get from the weekend shows, the discussions on the Ideas Network, there's always something good to listen to.
Because WPR makes your life better, you can help fund it as well. So help keep it going. Your pledge of support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. We just need your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you would like to pay.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all she wrote.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
After you've made your donation to WPR, another way you can help is by telling your friends and your family.
Yeah, whether you use social media or call them or mention it when you see them, just letting them know that you support WPR will help plant the idea in their mind as well. So make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station that you enjoy every day.
And KP, we need 10 more pledges, and we have, we've got 36, 7, 8, 9 minutes to get them. Your gift right now at WPR.org.
I can't
tell the time very well. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really does help.
Yeah, and again, this pledge drive, support the radio you love, and you can also ask to plant a tree as your gift.
I really like
that. That's a great idea. So make a pledge, grow a tree with just $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just love hearing you say that. Make a pledge and plant a tree.
Isn't that great?
I know, it's just great.
I would love to make a pledge. I'm supporting two great things that I love.
I know. Exactly.
Do it now.
Yes.
Do it now. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. We'll read some of the comments a little bit later. We have people listening from all over the place. This hour, it's an important discussion. Should we, and can we, is another part of the question, or another question, ban the airing of pharmaceutical ads on TV? Most countries in the world do. We don't. Can you believe the number of ads that we see? Get this. It's 30 hours of pharmaceutical ads you will watch during the course of a year unless you can somehow zip right through them. And how many of them are for erectile dysfunction? I mean, how many of them? Or with side effects that you hear the side effects and you say, oh, my gosh. Our guest this hour is senior editor for Scientific American. They have written an editorial recently about the banning of these ads, and we're welcoming your phone calls. The doctor who is with us couldn't stay with us. And I don't think we can reach her. So if we have another doctor listening, Gary asked an interesting question about the effect these ads have in the transaction that the patients have with their doctors. So we'd love to hear from some doctors about that this hour. Our phone number, let's go to many phone calls. What do you think about this? 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number for you to call. And let's go next to Carrie in La Crosse. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I had a different question. I work for the pharmaceutical industry, and I have for 18 years, and I do understand that some of the advertising is needed because I, from what I've learned, the companies need to recoup some of the costs for the clinical trials that they do because they can be rather expensive, especially if there's testing such as MRIs in them. But if the pharmaceutical ads are banned, it would be delightful if we could have a day then without hearing a healthcare system advertised. I cannot drive through my local community or turn the news on without seeing an ad for one of the two healthcare systems in my town. If we cut pharmaceutical advertising, can we cut advertising for medical systems as a whole, and will that help decrease our cost of healthcare?
Gary.
That's a good point. I mean, we have probably the most intricate health system in the world, and the complexities and challenges for the patients exist at every level, not just in the marketing of pharmaceuticals. So I agree with you. I mean, it is conceivable to have and I think that the pharmaceutical industry has actually done this at some point, actually have these ads be more educational, talking about a class of drugs rather than a particular drug that could then actually initiate or help to initiate a conversation on the part of a consumer or a patient with a physician. The problem now is because of the regulatory structure and because of the way these ads are structured. I think that a lot of people just come away confused about what the ads are for, what kind of disease they're for, and also whether these side effects might kill them potentially.
Hmm. And when she talked about the amount of money that is spent on trials, clinical trials, there is this huge $4.5 billion is nothing to sneeze at. Pharmaceutical industry is paying on ads. That's a large amount of money.
That's true. It's actually was for 2014. I believe in 2015 it went above $5 billion.
Wow.
And just as a measure, I think that's twice or more than twice the annual budget for the FDA.
Unbelievable. This is something that I've thought about, too. I wonder how much sex education is going on in living rooms all over America because of the number of erectile dysfunction advertising. Nancy from East Troy feels that those ads air at inappropriate times when kids watch TV. Our children are older, so we never had the discussion. What's that ad all about? But I'll bet there are conversations like that happening, aren't there?
Yeah, there's been proposals that, again, none of this has gone forward yet, but there have been proposals to air those ads only after 9 p.m., which wouldn't entirely deal with the problem, but that would be the intent of that kind of rule.
I found it very interesting and just didn't know, Gary, that there are only three countries on this earth that allow these advertisements, and I'm wondering, why is it New Zealand, America, and Brazil?
Because I actually don't really know about New Zealand and Brazil. The reason the United States have these ads is because the pharmaceutical industry is a huge and powerful industry in this country that in the view of the pharmaceutical industry, they're trying to recoup the costs, they say, for developing drugs. The U.S. is the largest market for drugs. And so they say that they need these ads to try to drum up sales.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have them here. And the pharmaceutical industry has a very powerful lobby as well.
Thanks very much, Carrie, for your call. And we go next to Tony in Chilton. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
Hi, Tony.
I'd like to say it's just pretty sad. We're supposed to be one of the top countries there is. And it's getting to the point where you can't afford medical, you can't afford education. It's strictly for those that have all the money or whatever. It's going backwards in this country. There's something wrong with it. There's no reason for these people to advertise. You can't take these prescriptions unless your doctor prescribes them. If you have a doctor that's halfway decent, he's going to prescribe the right one without advertising. It's nothing but a bunch of foolishness. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Thanks, Tony.
I mean, that is the reason that a number of people criticize these ads. A pharmaceutical is a little bit different for a variety of reasons than a BMW, which presumably a consumer can understand what it's about and make a mental calculation of what a BMW is like versus Volkswagen. And for that reason, there's a number of critics of these ads who say that the reason for not having these drug ads the way that we have them now is because they are simply very confusing to people who view them.
And we'll remind you what some of the side effects of things can be. Just, yeah, I'm amazed when I see these ads. Sometimes it seems like it's half the ad. And I'm wondering what has to be said in those ads now in terms of potential side effects, what legally has to be said. An article in Scientific America, it was actually an editorial, "This drug ad is not right for you. Peddling pharmaceuticals on TV is a lousy form of health education, and it can also drive up medical costs." It caught our attention, and we are speaking this hour with Gary Stix, who is senior editor for Scientific American, talking about pharmaceutical ads. Welcoming your phone calls as well. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Would you support a ban on pharmaceutical advertising on TV, or do you think there's a freedom of speech issue involved here and they have every right to be on television? I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. This is Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive. And you count on us for these kinds of discussions every day. It's your gift of any amount that will allow us to give you the kinds of discussions that you count on. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we are still looking for about 9 more pledges in the next 25 minutes or so. So there's still time for you. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy, like the Kathleen Dunn Show. And you can make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and also entertained every single day. You enjoy this program, Joy Cardine Show, The Larry Mueller Show, Zorba Pastor on Your Health, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and many others that you've come to rely on.
It's like WPR gives you a window into this world like no other. So support the exciting mix of shows and enjoy that you certainly enjoy and come to rely on here at this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this spring membership drive, we have a special thank you gift. KP and I both love this gift. You should ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60.
Yeah, it's really a cool idea.
It is.
So your thank you gift will support Wisconsin's Forest for the Future Fund. It's a DNR forestry program that plants trees throughout this state. So you can make a pledge. You can grow a tree just by donating right now at WPR.org or 888 202 2552.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but a large slice of WPR's budget, the biggest slice actually, is listener support. All of our funding sources, the state and federal government and businesses, are important, but it's your contribution that makes this huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to you, to listener support. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
The great thing about Wisconsin Public Radio is that it is for all of us. There isn't anything else in the state like it. It's the best way to bring the state together. Wisconsin Public Radio is something that people really care about, and if you really care about, then you have to do something about it, because otherwise it won't be here. I'm Ann Katz, Wisconsin Public Radio Association board member from Madison. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news, connections, and community.
Thanks, Ann. Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with the wonderful KP Whaley, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our spring membership drive. Your pledge might be $5 a month or $100 a month. We just want to let you know we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And in return, you get great programming.
Yes, yes.
And it's, you know, you may not always agree with all of the opinions that you hear from either our callers or the newsmakers that are on WPR programs, but that's actually a good thing, I think. Mm-hmm. It means that you're hearing multiple points of view and that you're fully engaged in a real discussion.
It means that you're better informed about the issues because you've heard different perspectives. And you can count on us for this kind of experience. We're listener-supported. Your gift right now keeps this diversity of opinions on the radio. So please, give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you can make your pledge in the form of an ongoing monthly gift of, say, $15 or $20 a month, or really whatever amount fits your budget. But you can set that up on your credit card or your debit card, or better yet, you can even have it come right directly from your bank account. So when you make this sustaining gift, you don't have to remember to renew, or what time, what drive do I need to renew that?
Right.
I can't remember. It's a great way to support the station.
Your support will be as consistent as your WPR listening, month after month, and really year after year. We're celebrating 100 years next
Amazing.
Year. Isn't that incredible? My. Become a sustainer right now by making an ongoing gift, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, if you think about it, a $10 a month contribution to WPR is just a little over 30 cents a day.
Mm.
You know, you probably spend a lot more than 30 cents a day on things that you value a whole lot less.
Mm-hmm. Well, dog biscuits, probably, but I value those, too.
I
know, we both do. Spend a little right now, and you'll get a lot in return. Join, renew, make an extra gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. You can go online, or you can call. Whatever you do, you will be investing in a station that you use.
And people are. We only need 7 more pledges to go in the next 20 minutes, so help out now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This pledge drive, do more with your gift to WPR. Ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much for your pledges. Make today the day that possibly you increase your support. Maybe you can add another $5 a month or whatever amount that works for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Joanna from Stephen Point says, one of my first memories is hearing WPR on my parents' radio. Now that I'm all grown up, it's my responsibility and privilege to be able to give back to an organization that has given me so much.
That's
great. It
goes
from generation to generation, doesn't it?
Yes. Thank you, Joanna, for your pledge. And thank everyone for your pledges. Your pledge right now is important, and you can make it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, KP. We're talking this hour about whether or not we should be banning the airing of pharmaceutical ads on TV. There was an editorial in Scientific American calling just for that. And we have a caller who wants to talk about side effects. We have just a little bit. You've heard this every single day, but here is one ad that talks about the incredible potential side effects of whatever this drug is. Listen.
Abilify is not for everyone. Call your doctor if your depression worsens or you have unusual changes in behavior or thoughts of suicide. Antidepressants can increase these in children, teens, and young adults. Elderly dementia patients taking Abilify have an increased risk of death or stroke. Call your doctor if you have high fever, stiff muscles, and confusion to address a possible life-threatening condition. Or if you have uncontrollable muscle movements, as these could become permanent. High blood sugar has been reported with Abilify and medicines like it. In some cases, extreme high blood sugar can lead to coma or death. Other risks include decreases in white blood cells, which can be serious, dizziness upon standing, seizures, trouble swallowing, and impaired judgment or motor skills.
Adding Abilify has made a difference for me.
Whew! It's quite a list of side effects, Gary, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you went through that list and then asked an individual panel of people whether they would want to take it, I think most would say no. I mean, one of the arguments against these ads is that they are just a deeply flawed form of health communication, because this drug actually may be quite effective. I'm not sure, but I think it could be effective for certain patients. And it's also conceivable that a number of those side effects are relatively rare. But it's impossible from listening to that to determine, you know, whether an individual would be at risk or whether there's a high possibility of suicidal thoughts, right, or death or whatever. And so that is really the reason that motivated Scientific American to talk about this. This is an age where people can go to the internet and really get well informed about different conditions and actually go and with that information, talk with a physician or some other healthcare provider and really be involved with their healthcare. But this kind of ad does not help do that, because it doesn't really weigh the risks and the benefits that someone who's trying to inform his or herself needs to go through to be able to have that kind of conversation, right, with the physician.
Doug is next in Ironwood. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm sorry I got in on the middle of the program. I didn't catch your guest's name.
Gary.
But I just wanted to say I was a nurse and I was a hospital pharmacy tech for many years, and I find that the drug ads on TV are atrocious, and the primary reason I'm against them is that the doctor is supposed to be the gatekeeper of a person's prescription medications. So you watch an ad on TV, you think, I have that problem. You go to the doctor, you say, I want this pill. It puts the doctor in a position where instead of being the gatekeeper, he's just an agent for the pharmaceutical corporations. He's under pressure. He gets pressure from the drug companies. They're coercing him with different things. And then the patient saying, I really think I want this because I saw it on TV, and despite some side effects, which I absolutely don't understand, I think it might just be the thing I need. And so he prescribes it. And it's just an untenable situation, not to mention that when I watch his show, I'll see three or four drug commercials in a row. I mean, it's not just like one. In a 5-minute period, you might see three or four drug commercials. It's just
they're
completely out of control.
They're on the what, Gary?
They're on the Super Bowl now.
Really?
So I wanted to ask you, Doug, did you find that when you were working in the hospital pharmacy that people would come in and, you know, be convinced that they would want one thing or another? I mean, they needed to get the prescription from a physician, but when you talk to physicians, for instance, is that what you found?
Well, I worked in the VA, so it's a government facility, but even VA doctors are not immune. I don't know if it's still a practice, but when I was working, the drug reps would bring in food, pizza, paperweights, charts, fountain pens, you name it. And you can't tell me that that didn't have an influence on the doctors. I agree. I think in proprietary care it would be more of a problem. But even in the government facilities, you know, they usually want the newest thing. And part of the problem in the VA, if you have a med medication, like, say, an antidepressant, like a tricyclic, and they made it back in the 70s, and then all of a sudden they want the SSRIs because that's the newer thing. And you liked, and you really did well on this old medication, but the doctor, our formulary, we phased that out. You know, we have to kind of control how many different meds. So this drug that you did so well on that's 40 years old now, we don't have it anymore, so we're going to put you on this SSRI, which probably isn't going to work nearly as well for you. So that's another, that's a particular problem I found in the VA. But yeah, I just think that it was a really terrible idea. I can't remember when they started showing these commercials on TV, but I think that it needs to be stopped. I really do.
Was it 97, Gary?
Yeah, it was possible to show them before then, but it was not really practical because the list of side effects, if you can believe it, was even longer that you would have had to have shown before 1997. It wasn't prohibited, though. Mm.
Thank you so much for your call. Most informative. Let's go next to Lynn in Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen and Gary.
Hi.
You are an underutilized professional in healthcare is your pharmacist. Your physician is a diagnostician first. He is bombarded with drug reps, and it's he cannot keep up on the flavor of the day because it changes that fast. I have lots of drug allergies. I take the responsibility to talk to my pharmacist. It's his job to know, or her, is their job to know. And I think it's reprehensible that they can advertise what is, you know, the flavor of the day on television to people like me who really we're not qualified to make those decisions.
I agree. I mean, I think that there are a lot of ways to get that information, and I think pharmacists way before the internet actually had that information and could be of assistance to patients. Now with the internet, there are some really good sources out there like Medline Plus that give a lot of information. And if somebody is interested and is taking an interest in his or her or their family's health, they can get that information and they can be really well-informed consumers. But the problem is that these drug ads just don't provide any value added.
Thanks, Lynn, so much for your call. We go next to Jeff in Rock Springs. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Sure.
I really appreciate NPR. I mean, without you, I mean, wouldn't be well informed. I used to work in the healthcare field, and I have to go along with what the gentleman said earlier before the lady from Eau Claire. We had drug reps come in, and they bring you everything from Famous Dave's to anything. I mean, and a lot of these reps, didn't have any background whatsoever in pharmacology or anything like that. The rumor before was, doctors are getting paid off, or extravagant vacations, in order to sell their product and stuff. And I think the focus should go back more to, drugs that are going to be beneficial to people, like the heroin epidemic, which, started, with the undermanagement of pain. A lot of vets, I'm a vet myself, and I know vets that, they weren't getting their pain managed well, and they went to the street, But I think that, if there was more information out there and people were more well-informed and there wasn't, so much of a drive just to make a buck, and there was more, concern over the public's health, I think, we'd all benefit from it, and I mean.
Thank you very much for your call, Jeff. Gary, thank you so much for sparking a most interesting conversation. We'll keep our eyes on this now and see if anything moves through Congress and if there's any big public outcry. I appreciate your time.
Thanks very much for having me.
Our pleasure. Gary Stix, senior editor for Scientific American. I believe we've put on our website, our Facebook page, the Kathleen Dunn Show, the editorial, actually, that appeared in the recent issue of Scientific America. This drug ad is not right for you. Peddling pharmaceuticals on TV is a lousy form of health education, and it can also drive up medical costs. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and this is our spring membership drive. You rely on us for informative, in-depth discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like the one you just heard on the air. Your gift right now of any amount is important to us. Here's how you give: WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're relying on you, five more people.
Five. All right, let's
to,
go.
To make our goal. So we need five more pledges still in the next 5 minutes or so. So make your support now to keep this station strong. Help pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation about pharmaceutical ads. I know we think about them because we see them all the time. Should they be on television? A chance to talk about that. It's just an example of, oh, we've done so many programs. Every day we do something that to me is so interesting. I just love my days because I learn so many things about science and about politics, fun, interesting, important.
Who knew this bill was going through the Congress?
I know, absolutely. Know?
Until we start delving into these topics, we don't start really even understanding how much there is to it.
Exactly.
And that's what makes it exciting for you and me every day.
For us, I know, and for people who listen, I know. So we do it with you in mind.
And now we just ask you to take a few minutes to make this hour and many others possible by making a choosing a gift, really, that works for you, and then making your pledge at WPR.org. Or just call and give your pledge on the phone. It's 888-202-2552. We're still looking for five more people.
Yeah, let's make that goal. Five people before the end of this hour. During this spring membership drive, you can also, I really like this idea so much, you can give something extra when you support WPR. Your donation makes the programs that you love possible. You need to know that. And you can plant a tree when you give $5 a month.
That's
or
right.
A one-time gift of $60.
It's great.
It is.
$5 a month, you get a thank you gift, will help maintain Wisconsin's state forest, and you get to do these two good things with your gift. So make a pledge, grow a tree. Make a pledge, grow a tree.
We need a song.
WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 in the next few minutes.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We need five more pledges to reach our goal, KP. Please help us reach that. KP Whaley is joining me in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. We are asking for your support of WPR. It is our spring membership drive. Your gift might be $10 a month or $20 a month or $60, and you'll plant a tree. We thank you for all of your gifts.
Maybe your gifts can be $100 a month, and if you can,
yes,
you can share your passion for WPR by becoming a 9XM Leadership Circle member, and that's a pledge of $100 a month or more, and we certainly rely on that member support. So all of your support helps make great radio that you're listening to.
It does. Gifts of $100 a month, $1,200 a year are important for our future. So help us with that future, with a leadership gift, if you can, at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We know you listen to WPR. Scotty and I know that you call in to WPR every day, and you know how important it is to you. We know how important it is to you. And I know that you want it to be here for the next generation.
The next 100 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. They should have access to the same quality news and information, music, that has nourished you. Your pledge of support is a building block for the next 100 years.
That's a great way to look at it. Invest in quality radio for yourself and for the next generation to come. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Four more now.
Four more pledges.
Four more. Thank you for being a WPR listener. Thank you to everybody who's already a member. It's listener support. It is your support that makes WPR an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
Yeah, if you're like me, WPR is kind of your radio home. And
yeah,
if it is your home, support it now. Make the news, discussion, the music, all possible with your first ever gift of, say, $5 or $10 a month. Go to WPR.org or pledge online or call at 888-202-2552.
Time flies. Maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to WPR. We're asking you to keep your membership active.
And you can think of your support like you think of other services that you rely on, like internet or phone, and your radio. So renew your support of WPR right now with an ongoing monthly gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Four pledges to go, and we can pledge through the news. So please help us get to our goal. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thanks, KP. Thanks for producing this interesting show on pharmaceuticals. Thanks to Scotty Myers and to Katie Madsen Cyrus for all of their help as well. News coming up. We'll return